Good evening. God is good. Praise the Lord. How's the Mother Day going? Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Well, let's stand up one more time. Praise God. I'd like you to lift your hands tonight and thank God. What a beautiful presence of God. Man, I'll tell you, that was beautiful right there. Ooh, man, we could just keep going. That's better than any kind of food or any kind of anything. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Transfer it right over to the Word tonight, Lord. Change everybody. Revolutionize our lives. Father, let us honor you by changing. Praise God. Change, Father, tonight towards you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on and greet somebody you're not used to greeting. Avoid the other folks. That's right. You're not used to greeting me, so you can greet me. Say, well, I'm not used to greeting. Everybody rushes up to me, you know. All right. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming to church on Mother's Day. I wasn't really sure if anybody was going to show up today, but I sure appreciate it. Praise the Lord. I thought people would still be eating cakes and pies and be on a sugar high and sugar low. You know, sleep sugar and all that. But you made it. Praise the Lord. I feel happy. And just by way of a suggestion, of course you don't have to do this, but it's a good idea to have a Bible. Just an idea there. Crazy idea. Luke chapter 12. And find one that you can read and understand. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin reading with verse 16. We're just going over our entry scripture that we started with this morning as we're talking about how to become God wealthy, how to become rich towards God and rich with God. Praise the Lord. And if you weren't here, go ahead and order the tape from this morning. This is part two, and then Wednesday are going to be the how-tos of all of this. And he spoke a parable to them that the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought in himself, what am I going to do because I don't have any room to put all my things? And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down the barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'll put everything in those barns. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have so many things laid up for many, many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall these things belong to, which you have stored up? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, but is not rich towards God. Praise the Lord. So that's our beginning point. And this morning we talked about poverty and having a life of poverty and how people are poor in God. They're not rich towards God. They're poor towards God. And how the plan of God is that we cannot give away what we do not own. If you don't own a piece of God, you cannot give a piece of God away. So most Christians are renters of God. We rent Jesus. We rent God. We rent joy for periods of time, but we don't own it, so we're not able to give it away. So God wants to take us from the renters to the owners. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five and say, I need some more of Jesus in my life. Praise God. So, we're talking about how to be rich towards God. And one of the most important things about being rich towards God is that, you know, God wants us, health is wealth. God wants us to be healthy. Tell that to somebody. Say, God wants you to be healthy. How many of you believe that it is the will of God for you to be healthy all your life and to not live with the sorrows of diseases in your body? That it's God's will for you to be healthy. Praise the Lord. And when you are healthy, you just do a lot better in your attitude. Have you ever noticed how you feel when you eat too much? And how many have ever said after like a meal like today, and have you ever said, I'm never eating ever again? Praise the Lord. And you're like, man, I'm just never going to eat again for the next 5 days, you know. And then, of course, 2-3 hours later, you're eating again. But you know, God wants a rich church. And He wants it rich with Him. He is our wealth. He wants every area of our life to be rich. There is a piece of God for every area of life. There is wealth for marriage, for example. You can have a wealthy marriage if God's in your marriage. Praise the Lord. You can have a wealthy mind if God's in your mind. You can have a wealthy family if God is in the family. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing to have children who love you with all their heart and who love God. But what a painful and sorrowful thing for those that want it but don't have it yet. We have to stand and believe God that something's going to change this year for a lot of you and your children. Praise the Lord. Or the beauty of just having a child, just to have a child. And then there's people who don't have the ability physically to have children. We had, this last year, over 12 miracle births. Now, I saw 7 of the babies myself. These are people that I had prayed for that could not have children. We prayed for them, and they all got pregnant. And they 7 of the people, I went to the churches, and they showed me the babies. Was one of the most exciting things. And the other ones just sent me in, you know, pictures and things like that. What a glorious thing. And these are people that couldn't have children, some of them up to 12 and 15 years. There was a couple from Romania, 15 years they'd been trying. And I went to the church in California and they brought me the baby, weeping. Praise the Lord. So we know that God wants you to be rich with Him. Praise God. This town doesn't need just money. This town needs God. And it needs God in the church. Praise the Lord. Notice that Samson was anointed by God, and he was also appointed by God, and he was also called by God, but he was poor. He was weak and poor. He chased all the women in town, got drunk with everything he could get drunk with, and just basically was a party animal. He was poor towards God. Solomon, who had the gift of wisdom and was a king, had 1,000 wives, and God told him not to do it. He said, don't marry a lot of women. Don't gather a bunch of gold to yourself. And don't put your heart in horses. All three things he did. And by the end of his life, it says that his wives turned his heart away from God, and he built altars unto their gods because he was poor towards God. Praise the Lord. What you need in a marriage is you need a wife and a husband that are full of God and have enough patience to put up with you while you are changing into what you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be married to somebody who doesn't depend on you for their happiness, but they depend on God? And because they depend on God, it gives you time to change. Praise the Lord. This is one of the great things I've learned. My wife and I have learned about relationships is that if you build your marriage on a relationship, it's probably going to fail. You have to build it on a covenant. Because the covenant gives your relationship time to change. If you build it on a relationship, man, you could kill each other. Because things are not going to be the way they're supposed to right away. Unless you marry somebody that's like Jesus right away or something. But if you marry somebody that's got more devil than Jesus in them, it takes a little time to get the devil kicked out of there. Right? Am I talking to anybody or just the walls? You know what I'm saying? It takes a little time to kick the devil out of some folks. Praise the Lord. Even if you want him kicked out, sometimes he holds on tight. You know what I'm saying? He holds on tight. But because you're in a covenant, you don't contemplate destruction. You just say, no, we're in this till we die. So there's no upgrades. We just got to do some remodeling. Praise God. I mean, you can replace parts. You can do all kinds of different things, but you just can't trade it in. They got part replacement now and all kinds of stuff. But so it's really important that all of us learn how to become wealthy with God. Because at the end of the day, you're either happy or you're not. You're either peaceful or you're not. You're either strong or you're not. You're either wise or you're not. You either have a spiritual life that's wealthy and rich, or you have a home that's rich, or a family, or a body, or just your ability to cope with life. To have that part of God that doesn't get frustrated or irritated or angry or upset, where you become uncontrollable and unprovocable because you have trust in God. What a blessed wealth to be able to never be shaken by anything in this world. Unshakable faith and uncommon favor. Praise God. Hug two people and say, man, I feel the Lord talking to me right now. So let's talk tonight about the gates of wealth and the gates of poverty, because these are really important. And they're things that I've just learned over the years that can make your life poor or that can make your life really rich. All right? And the first one, Romans 8, 5 and 6 and 7, it says, those that set their mind on the flesh reap death and corruption. But those that set their mind on the Spirit reap peace and life. Praise God. And then, of course, Isaiah 26, 3, 4, and 5, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind, you prove it is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. So the first area is poverty thinking. If you're going to be wealthy in God, you have to change the way you think about everything. Praise the Lord. One of the first things I had to do when I got saved was begin to memorize scripture to heal my mind. Because I could not sleep from the things that were in my mind. My mind was a pollution factory of hatred and bitterness and perversion and uncleanness and meanness and ugliness. And I said, Lord, what's in my head is not just being automatically erased because I'm saved. It's called the renewing of your mind. But if you don't change your thinking, you will be poor because you think like a poor person. Praise the Lord. We have to think the way God thinks about everything to become wealthy in God. God has a way he thinks. Philippians chapter 4 lists 9 different ways of thinking. Set your mind on things that are good, things that are honest, things that are pure, things of good report, things that are full of virtue, things that are full of honor. Set your things on things that are lovely. It tells you exactly where to put your mind. And you know by now that what you think translates into what you feel. And what you feel will translate into an action. Because we are led by our feelings, whether we're supposed to or not. We are led by our feelings. Most people are led almost 100% by their feelings. Very few people are led by what's right or wrong. They're led by what they feel at the moment. And so if you change the way you think, you change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, you're going to change the way you act. And this is really powerful right here. The mind is an amazing thing. It's like a computer. Whatever you put in that mind, it starts putting it out. And everybody here knows what it's like to feel guilty and ashamed because of what you think. And think about what thoughts you've had before that you didn't want anybody to even, oh my gosh. Have you ever had that moment, oh my gosh, what was that? Like the devil ran through my brain. Praise the Lord. So the first thing I had to do is memorize all the verses on love in the Bible. It took me 3 months because it's what I needed. I had so much problems with people. I had so many problems with people. It was like my biggest thing was that I didn't understand why people weren't good as Christians. You know, when I discovered Christians are just as mean as the devil is, I almost quit being a Christian. I said, well, what's the use? Everybody's full of the devil. I thought everybody was going to be like me. Sweet, loving, forgiving, cleansed, converted, changed, totally different. I found out that the devil lives in church. Praise the Lord. So I had to change my mind. You'll have a lot of power when you stop thinking like a poor person. Because you see, poverty thinking keeps you poor. Because you never believe God when you're poor. You can't have faith when you think bad. You can't have the faith of God that'll get you out of debt and that'll get you out of trouble and that'll change who you are as a person and transform everything about you. So it's really important that if you're going to be wealthy in God, you start changing the way you think. You have to find every limitation in your mind that limits you from becoming an amazing, fabulous, anointed, life-changing person. And you have to destroy those thoughts. You have to cast them down. You have to grab them by the throat. And you have to throw them on the floor. And you have to jump on them. And say, I am not going to be a worthless person. I am not going to live a meaningless life. I am not going to live an irrelevant existence. I am not going to be insignificant. God created me and He is in my body. He lives in me in the person of the Holy Ghost. And I am going to change the world. I am going to discover something. I am going to invent something. I am going to be given some kind of gift. I'm going to do something great for God because God is no respecter of person, and there's no reason why I can't do it. I can do it as well as anybody else can do it because God lives in me thinking. If you say I was born a rat, I am a rat and I'm going to die a rat, then you will. Praise the Lord. Poverty thinking, and I don't have the time to go into it, but there's 13 categories listed in Matthew of changing the way you think. And they're all listed right there, which is out of the heart, proceed, and list 13 things, the way that we, all the areas you have to renew. You see, because Christianity is not an event, it's a lifestyle. And it only works for lifestyle people. God's not just going to go over there and just kind of electrify you with joy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're going to have to do things to position yourself there. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Praise the Lord. So what we think, we end up doing. Look at two people and say, talk about it. Praise the Lord. And then Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise God. And this is another gate of power or wealth. I just want to know how many of you are really serious about becoming God wealthy. Because remember, you can't give what you don't own. And so God wants to give you Himself. And one of the really powerful ways of becoming God wealthy is not practicing poverty talking. Praise the Lord. Words have power, ladies and gentlemen. They have a tremendous amount of power. Think about how many times you have been hurt in your life by what somebody said. Think about how many times you wanted to commit an act of violence because of what somebody said. Think about how many times you've been provoked to anger because of what somebody said. Think about how many times you have done crazy things simply because of what somebody said to you, and you just went crazy. So to say that words don't have power is foolishness. So one of the ways you become wealthy in God is to learn how to talk the language of faith and the language of love and the language of wisdom and the language of understanding and the language of kindness and the language of faithfulness and the language of self-control and the language of obedience and the language of submission to God and the language of humility. These are all languages that have to be learned in the things of God. Because if you practice complaining, for example, because words create atmospheres. Words create atmospheres. If you get in your car and you start fighting with one another, the Holy Ghost is not going to be in that car. You're not going to feel the Spirit of the Lord that we felt while Laura was playing these songs and the glory of God, unless I was the only one feeling it, unless the glory of God came down and the presence of God was holding us like that and we were singing and I could have sung for hours like that. I could just stayed right there and just kept singing for hours because I was enveloped in the atmosphere of heaven because of the words coming out of my mouth. And my heart was being opened by the music, and my words were worshiping God. I love you, Jesus. What a beautiful name. How awesome you are. You are so amazing and beautiful. And the glory of God comes in because it's the power of words to create atmospheres in your home, in your family, and even around you. If you go around griping and complaining all the time, you create an atmosphere of darkness over you. If you're negative all the time, if you're always finding fault with people, if you're always upset and always that, you're going to have a miserable atmosphere around you and in your home and anywhere else. You can't get wealthy in God by talking like a poor person. Praise the Lord. I call it Satanese. I call it the language of Satanese. It's when you talk like the devil wants you to talk. Praise the Lord. No hope, no joy, no mercy, no forgiveness, no kindness, no understanding. I don't know about you. I don't enjoy being around people who are always negative. I'd rather be around somebody who believes in me. Praise the Lord. And who tells me I'm going to be amazing even if I'm acting like a fool. Praise the Lord. And don't think that preachers don't act like fools. Praise the Lord. Some preachers act like the biggest fools. Praise the Lord. I had a friend that had an affair with a woman for 10 years while he was preaching. He had his wife and his children and then had another woman that he kept at an apartment. And that woman sat in church right there for 10 years and he was preaching in a Holy Ghost church. So no one is exempt from being cursed with the DNA of Adam. But like I told you this morning, blood made us sick, but blood makes us whole. Praise the Lord. And that's the beauty of it. Now, I'm not suggesting that all preachers are perverts, but what I'm suggesting is that humans are humans. Praise God. And so I think it's really important. You need to ask yourself what's coming out of your mouth because you can make your entire life poor. You can become a poor person just because you let things come out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of your mouth. Do you know that profanity is, verbal abuse is soul rape. Verbally abusing a person is how you rape their soul. You make them cripples by the ugly things you tell them. There are people today that are 60, 70 years old that are still living under the curse that their father's words put on them or their mother's words put on them or an ex-wife or an ex-husband. And they're crippled. They can't function. But God teaches us how to heal each other with our words. Praise God. Look at two people and say, I just think you're amazing, even if I don't know you. Say that to somebody. Say, I just think you're amazing. What a blessing if you're married to a verbal healer. What a blessing if you're married to a verbal healer. A person that has the power to heal you with their words. You deserve to be cussed out, but they pray for you instead. You deserve to be told to go to blankety blank blank and blankety blank 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 and blankety the blank on the blankety blank blank. But instead, they love you and they believe in you. Praise the Lord. Remember, your enemies never let you forget your mistakes. And your friends never let you forget your potential. Praise God. Would you hug two people and say, that's what I'm talking about. Why don't we become verbal healers? Why don't we go around encouraging people when they're down, when they're drunk, when they're living in sin, when they're participating in things that are destroying them, why don't we look at those people and say, I believe in you. I believe you're going to free yourself from all these chains. I believe that you're going to be a great man, a great woman. I believe that you're going to do great things for God. If we do that, instead of telling them all the wrong things they're doing that they already know they're doing and already feel guilty about, we will make them rich and make ourselves rich as well. Because remember, you do reap what you sow. Praise the Lord. Put your arms around somebody and say, I just love everything about you. Is that your original hair color? Praise God. The poorest person that I can find in the Bible who was poor towards God is Judas. Judas lived with Jesus for 3.5 years and saw every miracle he did and still was empty. He did not have one drop of God in him. So we know it's possible to go to church and still not be affected by church. Praise God. Like I told you this morning, the map is not the journey. And reading the menu doesn't help until you make an order. Praise the Lord. Just reading the Bible is not going to help. You've got to put in your order. Say, I need a little bit of love. I need a little bit of joy. I need a little bit of peace. I need a little bit of healing. Put in your order. Don't just read it. Praise God. I kind of am proud of myself about that. Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. Psalm 30, verses 5 and 6. Weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is another gate of wealth or poverty. It's your feelings and your emotions. If you do not take control over the way you feel, you're going to live a very miserable life. Praise God. How many of you know that there are a lot of things that affect the way you feel? Praise God. How many of you lost your temper in the last month? Isn't that interesting? And did you lose it over like something really serious or just about anything? Praise God. Isn't it true that sometimes you just wake up mean? Does anybody here wake up mean periodically? I want to know. Does anybody ever wake up in a bad mood? Feelings. Praise God. Some of you even go further than that. You get into depression. And all kinds of negative emotions, loneliness and bitterness and anger and frustration and self-pity, the worst emotion of all. Praise God. And you know what's really dangerous is when you allow yourself to feel hurt by the people you live with. Because you can't do them any good and you're not going to do yourself any good. We have to become experts at healing our emotions by forgiving people. Praise the Lord. Protect your own emotional world by not allowing any of the parasites to get in it. As soon as you feel hate, forgive. As soon as you feel loneliness, reach out to God. As soon as you feel like doing something crazy, fall on your face and repent and say, God, I will not serve that impulse. I will not give in to that urge. I will not serve that desire because like I told you this morning, desires are just prisons waiting to happen. So we have to really control the way we feel. Praise God. And this is what the Holy Ghost told me. He told me something very important. He said, never match a person's overreaction. If they overreact to you, don't match that. Do the exact opposite. If they're screaming, lower your voice. If they're cussing you out, bless them. He said, because love works in opposites to the flesh. And if you do the opposite of what you're being provoked to do, you'll never step out of the favor and blessing of God. Because if you scream and yell at me and I match that, something's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Especially if we're both equally crazy. Huh? Praise the Lord. And what's really sad is if you meet a person that's crazier than you are. Plus, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We're actually called Christians. Just a thought there. You know, we're actually supposed to be Christ-like. And emotions, man, everything comes from our emotions. Everything. Everything. Have you ever been hurt? How many have ever been hurt, deeply hurt? What crazy stuff happens when people get hurt? Pain and inspired decisions are so dangerous. You're liable to end an entire friendship when you're hurt. Whether God wants you to or not. You're just going to do it because you're hurt. And you don't care if God likes it or doesn't. You're just going to end it. Pain makes us monsters or it makes us ministers. It makes us bitter or it makes us better. It makes us sweet or it makes us sour. Praise God. So your wife is either your better half or your bitter half, based on how you choose to look at her. Amen. Give someone a high five and say, hula, hala, hala. Every emotion you have, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, every emotion you have creates a harvest of expectations. If you're always walking around expecting bad things because that's how you feel, that's the kind of harvest you're going to produce. Expectations are very powerful. Our expectations always determine our encounters with God. So when I go to church, I'm expecting God to talk to me. When I'm at Whataburger, I'm expecting God to talk to me. When I'm by myself somewhere, I'm expecting God to talk to me. And you know what I have found? He is more than happy to oblige. Praise the Lord. Expectations come from your emotions. Desperation comes from your emotions. And desperation is the breeding ground of miracles. If you get desperate for something, you're going to get it. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, man, I need to get desperate for something. How many of you need anything of God? How many of you say, there's something of God I don't have? Praise the Lord. Maybe patience. Right? Right? Say, man, I don't have any patience. I don't have any, you know, whatever it may be. That's why we're here in church. We're here to get rich in God. We're here to for people to say, man, how did you handle that? You know, God does divine interventions for humble people. A woman I knew sent her husband and five children to school, to a Christian school. They drove on the highway. Something happened to the car. They ran into a trailer. All of them died. All five children and the husband. She worked at the school. She got there. The pastor was already waiting for her and had to take her to a side room and tell her she had just lost her entire family. This pastor told me that this woman fell on her face and said, oh my gosh, what have I done? And he had to relieve her of that. But once she knew she wasn't to blame, he said it was like a cloud of some kind of supernatural glory came on the woman. And from that moment on, though she wept nonstop, but from that moment on she had peace and was able to minister to all the other people that would talk to her and her family and all that. And he said, to this day, she just walks in supernatural peace. God just gave her. But you know, that doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't hardly happen to anybody. But he said, this is a very humble woman. Now, you can't say, oh, well, I wonder why that happened. Or, what. Well, they got in a car that's made by man that has faulty possibilities. And that's what we do every time we get in a car or on a motorcycle or on a plane is we take a chance. We live in a fallen world. And so you don't blame God. It's just the world you live in. You take a chance. Praise the Lord. So you have to understand that God, He has already laid out for you all this wealth that He wants us to walk in. But what's the use of being a Christian for 20 years or 30 years or 35 years and after 30 or 35 years still running off with the secretary? I mean, I understand having a midlife crisis, but that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? By that time, you should have learned the sacredness of marriage and the sacredness of giving your heart to one person and the beauty of saying that here it is. It's yours forever. Nobody else's ever. Amen. I don't care if you grow fat or skinny or do whatever. There it is. Amen. Jesus doesn't climb off the cross and say, you're such a rat, I'm taking back my sacrifice for you. He doesn't divorce anybody. You know that Hitler could have gone to heaven had he repented. Mussolini, who killed 20 million people, could have gone to heaven if he had repented. Genghis Khan could have gone to heaven if he repented. All the rapists and child molesters, if they truly repent, they can go to heaven. But would I allow that if I was God? I'd kill everybody. I would kill every single pedophile in the world right now. And if you lined them up, because my heart is not totally sanctified yet, I still have wickedness that is willing to murder those people now. And I know a few other people in the room who would join me. As a matter of fact, I would guess the whole entire church, including the women, would probably help. Praise the Lord. But does that mean it's right? No. It means that, you know, we're still not there. And then other people would claim love, but really they're just lazy. But, you know, they're just lazy and really don't care. They just don't care and they just blame I love people, so I don't, you know. If they can prove that they love, have loved other things and sacrificed for other things, then I would believe it. But if their whole life is a non-involved life, then I don't believe anything about love or nothing. That's just ridiculous. Indifference, which is the handprint of Satan on your life. Not caring and not getting involved. We'll lose our churches and we'll lose our country if we don't get involved. I'm telling you right now. We really will, ladies and gentlemen. And our war is won on our knees because we need a revival. Revival is what will save America, and revival is what will save our churches, and revival is what will save your marriage, and a revival is to be get wealthy in God. I'm telling you what a revival is right here. Praise the Lord. Well, hug someone and say, I don't care if it's your original hair or not. Praise God. So, then we have poverty living. Poverty living is just living like a poor person. My wife went to a gal's house with three of her friends to clean the house because they were all sick. When they got there, it was a double wide trailer. There's nothing wrong with that, but it was a double wide trailer. But when they opened the door, they all started gagging because of the smell coming out of the trailer. So they went in there, and there were trash bags all over the house, open and all that, cats and dogs running around, the smell of urine and cat litter and cat poop. And if you know that cat poop is the most toxic thing, you could actually kill a city with enough cat poop odor. I think you could slay a whole town. But it was everywhere. They were all gagging. And they had to clean the house. All the beds were black. The sheets were actually black. Never been. These are Christian people. Husband and wife with three little girls. But that's poverty living. If you're going to live like a poor person, you're going to stay poor. Praise the Lord. You got to change the way you live if you're expecting to move to a different apartment. A different house in the spirit. Then you have to live like blessed people live. Now, praise the Lord. That's why it's important that you know, people give like they're poor, and we need to give like we're rich. I'm talking give love and joy and forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. Praise God. So we don't want to. All we have is the life we have, ladies and gentlemen, and that's all we have to offer God. This is it right here. This is the offering we have, is our life. We lay it on the altar, and that's it. One life, one time. I don't want to go to heaven with an empty resume. I'm not doing good works for salvation. I'm doing good works because of gratitude and obedience. My life means something to God, and He wants me to use it to its full potential. Praise the Lord. God forbid that you are wasting your life by doing nothing that matters in heaven. See, man is selfish. So whatever he does, he'll only do it if it benefits him. It's when we do things that don't benefit us that we become rich. Praise the Lord. So at the end of the day, you should always ask, what did you do for somebody else that cost you something? That's how you're going to be rich. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and hug somebody and say, I just feel the love of the Lord. Praise God. Mark 11:22-23, poverty believing. You know, a lot of people don't believe anything. The Bible says that if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'll speak to a mountain and it will move out of the way. Praise God. Look at two people and say, that's what I'm talking about. See, if you don't believe God for anything, you're never going to get anything. God operates by faith. God expects us to believe Him. Faith is what God is thinking. So we need to believe God for something bigger. How about believing God for you to get out of debt? How about believing God for you to have a business that's paid off? How about believing God for you to prosper? How about believing God for your healing? How about believing God for your children to get saved? People don't believe. They get scared and they're terrified. And then they start begging God instead of believing God. And you can live poor just because you believe the wrong things. The most dangerous person in the world is a good person with bad beliefs. I love Oprah like everybody loves Oprah. But Oprah's beliefs are really bad. She doesn't even believe that Jesus is necessary. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the nicest people believe the craziest things. And because they do, they become dangerous. And they will make you poor. The hardest thing to do is tell someone that you're related to, wow, I love you, but what you're thinking is crazy. Especially if they're really a loving, kind person, it's even harder. But that's what the devil likes to use. Praise the Lord. So you have to really guard what you believe because it's going to change everything in your life. Your beliefs are basically your entire existence. They're your destiny. Praise the Lord. Ask two people, what do you believe? Praise the Lord. We please God by faith. And that's a really important thing. If you're never going to believe God for more than what you have, we're not honoring God. We honor God by saying, here's where I'm at today, but I'm going to be over there tomorrow. This is who I am now, but I'm going to be that person next year. This is what we are now, but that's what we're going to be. Praise the Lord. This is who my child is now, but that's what they're going to be. It's a belief. You have to give God something to work with. And faith is the food you feed God. It is the food you give God. It is what nourishes God from your own life. It's faith. Because faith is the highest compliment you can pay God. Because you are trusting God to do something that you can't do. Remember, if impossible is not in your vocabulary, then you're not walking by faith. And if it's not laughable, then it's not doable. You got to believe something crazy. I'm believing God for 1 million orphans. Praise God. And God's going to give it to me before I go to heaven. Look at two folks and say, hula holla, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. So you can be poor by believing the wrong things. I know people that believe they're supposed to be poor. Well, they're going to be poor. I know people that believe that God puts sickness on people. Well, then why ask to get healed? If you believe God makes you sick, then why ask God to heal you? It's not logical to ask God to do something other than what He wants. That belief will keep you sick. It's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Because if you don't believe God can heal you, then you're not going to resist the devil so he can flee. But if you believe God heals, then you'll go at that thing and believe God, and many people will get healed. Praise the Lord. And one of those people might be you. Amen. Give someone a high five and say, cha-cha, praise the Lord. Then Acts chapter 2 and also chapter 3 and 4, and this is poverty praying. You know, a lot of times people don't pray with any kind of faith or power. There is a way to pray that makes things happen. And I've learned that if you pray from a heart of sincerity, that something miraculous will begin to happen. Sincerity is the key that unlocks the supernatural. If you're sincere when you pray, in English or in your prayer language, it releases the presence of God, because sincerity is how you tell God you believe in Him. Prayers put wings to your burdens. Praise God. And you know what the devil fights more than anything? Our prayer life. Do you know that Christians in America only prayed 3 minutes a day? That's pretty poor. And prayer says a lot of things. For one thing, it says that you trust God and believe in Him. And when you don't pray, it's like this. It's if you have money, you don't really need to pray about too many things that money can get. You're not going to pray about food or cars or anything that takes money. So like 3/4 of your prayer life is gone just because you have money. Huh? What do you pray for most in your life? Things. Lord, pay my house. Ah, pay my car payment. Ah, give me some food. Ah, pay the child's college. Oh, Lord. But if you have money, you don't have to pray that. And that's why rich people have a hard time walking with God. Because everything they want, money can give them. Except the true wealth that we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, Lord, give me money anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, but you better learn how to pray the way that makes you wealthy. Praise God. Just get on your knees and mean it when you say it. No matter what you pray, just mean it. Just mean it from your heart. Just say, God, I love you. I really mean that. I need you. I really mean that. Just do it. And then you pray in the Holy Ghost, do it the same way. Prayer is a powerful way to put yourself in the middle of God's hand. And if you don't pray, then you're in a very dangerous position. Praise the Lord. There's a cloud that comes over people when you talk about prayer. It's one of the most demonic things I have ever seen in my 40 years. You start talking about prayer and people start falling asleep. It's a very wicked thing that happens. I've seen it happen, you know, all over the world, because the devil hates the church praying. He knows if you as a couple start praying, things are going to start happening. So he has to keep you mad at each other or just make you so entertained and amused. Can you imagine how many centuries and destinies have been devoured by amusement? Entertainment has swallowed up more hours and more destinies than anything else you can imagine. If the devil can keep you entertained all your life, he is perfectly happy for you to laugh your way right out of your destiny. Praise the Lord. Yeah, beware of becoming an entertainment addict, because you will live the wrong life. We are supposed to work. Praise the Lord. Look at two people and say, Holy Ghost, work. Praise God. If you can't control the TV, throw it out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Poverty giving. Look at two people and say, oh my gosh, I don't want to give like a poor person. See, if you're going to be wealthy in God, you have to learn how to give like God. Give like the place you want to occupy. Don't give like the place you're occupying. This goes for finances and it goes for your walk with God. If you're going to give something to somebody, give a lot, more than you're capable of giving. And develop the habit of giving like the place you want to be, not like the place you're at. Praise the Lord. You can't over-forgive. You can't over-love. You can't be overly kind. You cannot be overly merciful. You cannot be overly sweet to a person. You cannot be overly sincere. And God is the greatest giver in the universe. Praise the Lord. If God decided to give each one of you $1 million right now, would you just sit there all calm-like? Or would it change your attitude for this particular service? Huh? You know what the greatest curse is of the world, ladies and gentlemen? The greatest curse of the world is not Buddhism or Hinduism or the Muslims or anything like that. The biggest curse is a casual church. That is the biggest church curse of the world. People with the lifesavers who don't use them. Casual Christians. Until the church becomes militant, we're not really going to see anything change. Praise God. We have to become an army, not just a bunch of little children. Praise the Lord. Militant. That means we have to organize and say, let's win Utopia for God. What would be the crime if you guys went door to door? I'm just asking questions now. I don't mean to terrify you all. But what would be the crime of that? What if all of you went door to door and two people got saved? Just two in 1 month. Would that be an evil thing you did? If people spit at you, laughed at you, mocked you and did all that, or even thought you were a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, which of course you wouldn't want anybody to ever think that, but would you be willing to share the reproach to get some miserable person saved? My wife went door to door here last month with my son Gavin, with the church there where we go. They just went door to door and got, I don't know, 19 people saved. Because my wife just walks in the houses. What, are you going to kick a woman out of the house? These are miserable people. Getting them delivered from drugs, getting them set free, breaking chains off of them, praying for them. People are weeping. People are crying. People are close to suicide. They're repenting. They come to, and all those people get saved. Why? Because we have to become militant. Our giving has to be intense. They gave of themselves. These people that went out gave of themselves. And 19 people got healed and saved and delivered because of the extreme giving. Greedy people never prosper in God. Greed is an act of violence against your financial destiny. And it's also an act of violence against your spiritual destiny. Praise the Lord. So, well, I'm kind of shy. I don't think that would work for my personality type. I know that, but you can kill your personality type. You can just kill it. Because that's what Christianity is. It is daily murder. Is that not true? How many times in a day do you have to kill the flesh? Huh? A true Christian is a living, walking murderer of himself. You crucify things all day long, and if you don't, then they rise up and chew on you. Praise God. Raise your right hand and say, amen, praise the Lord.
Amen, praise the Lord.
So, the last one is just how you act. You know, poverty acting. This is really important. And I just want to, 1 Kings 17, verses 9 through 16. You know, we need to act like we're wealthy and not poor. Have you ever been to a garage sale? Have any of you ever been to any kind of sale at any store? My wife went to one, and it cured her. She got there at 5 in the morning because they were giving away like baby beds for one of our grandchildren, baby beds. And she got in line. She was the first one in line at this big store. Well, soon all the other women started coming. And then ended up being like 30, 40 women out there in front of the thing. And when they opened the door, they ran over her. They ran over my wife. They pushed her aside, grabbed her, threw her away, and ran and took off running towards things. And it really hurt her feelings. She just came home crying. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how Christians act. You have no idea how many people call my office and say, I would like everything you have and I want you to give it to me. And we have to do it, so we just give them everything. You know, we take our trips, our missions trips, and I always ask people to you know, give a certain amount of money to pay for like the transportation and the food. Except for this church. But I always ask people to do that. And never once in all the trips we've ever had have we ever had people, all the people, do it. Like the last trip, we had like 90-something people. And our bill ended up being $19,000, and we had 16,000 come in. Do you think I'm going to call people and ask them, why didn't you give your money? Why didn't you do that? What? No, I would never do that, because I would rather have them come and work, because I can't pay for them to do it. I couldn't even hire them. But the principle is the same. We have to act like we're saved if we expect to get the blessings of saved people. Praise the Lord. There's got to be some integrity and some honor in the way that we behave. Don't behave like you're poor. Behave like you're rich. I've built these things that I've built around the world, and some of the most precious gifts have been given to me. I've had couples come up and give me their wedding rings. I had one couple, their wedding rings, when we sold them, brought in over $6,000. That's a lot of dough. And that's cheap. It was worth a lot more, but that's all we could get. But we could put that into the Lord. What a sacred thing. Praise the Lord. Act. How do you act? Start acting like you're going to be wealthy in God, not like you're going to be poor. Praise the Lord. Start acting like you have God living on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. Would you give someone a hug and say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Put on my music. Look at two people and say, man, I'm going to get wealthy in God. Remember that what we do defines us before men. And why we do it reveals us before God. So what you do, man judges you by, but why you do it, God judges you by. So we don't just have to get the doing right, we also need to get the why we do things right, the motive. Praise the Lord. Can everybody say this is going to be a wealthy church? Say, we're going to be rich in God. Look at the people around and say, you're going to be wealthy in God. Say, you're going to be rich with God. Tell that to somebody. Say, you're going to be full of love. Tell them that. Say, you're going to be full of wisdom. Say that to somebody. You're going to be full of mercy. You're going to be full of patience. You're going to be full of kindness. You're going to be full of understanding. You're going to be full of the fear of the Lord. You're going to be full of the anointing. You're going to be full of the mercies of God, the goodness of God, the faith. Tell that to people. Say, you're going to be full of health. Your body's going to be healthy. Tell them all the diseases in your body are going to dry up. Tell them your high blood pressure is going to leave your body. Say that to somebody. Say, God is going to pay your house off. Tell that to somebody. Say, God's going to pay your house off. Pay your bills off. Something amazing is going to happen. Praise the Lord. Tell that to somebody. Say, something amazing is going to happen. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to begin to minister to people tonight. Because, you know, one of the great things about being in the Holy Ghost is that God doesn't just preach. He also demonstrates. He ministers to people. Praise the Lord. You guys come on up. He ministers to people. And that's the way that the Holy Ghost is. And let me have a couple of ushers. Praise the Lord. You guys stand right here if you would. Yeah, just stand right there. And get a couple of guys behind them. And just face me. Yeah, don't face them. Yeah, like this. Perfect, perfect. Tell me your names again.
Brandon.
Brandon and Ashley. Great. And you guys extend your hands to Brandon and Ashley. Praise the Lord. And let's just believe God for them. Let's believe God for their family first. And then see what else God would do. Praise the Lord. You know, because he's a good God. Praise God. I know the devil hates you. I know that. I know he hates you. He wants to destroy you. But Matthew 18 says the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And I want you to hold hands. And I'm telling you right now that you have seen the darkest days, and they have passed by you. And now God is going to start really removing the clouds. And the sun is really going to start shining on the garden of your family. And the seeds that are in the garden that God put there, they've been in there for a while, but He put those seeds there, but they haven't come up the way they're supposed to. But they're going to start coming up right now, tonight. They're going to start coming up. And you guys are going to be so blessed that you both are going to be able to do what God tells you to do when He tells you to do it. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you that God has broken something in the spirit. I can see it. He has broken some demonic thing, and it is broken. It is broken and it is shattered, and it won't come back. Because you both have chosen to be humble before God, then He's going to exalt you. He'll bless your finances, He'll bless your relationship, and He'll bless your family. And I'm just seeing that happening right now in the spirit. I see a spider's web just being crushed by a foot. And that every sneaky device of the devil, that every trap he would lay for you, has been totally wiped out and broken. And now you're going to walk in the wonderful peace of God. This is your blessing, is to walk in the peace of God. Undisturbed peace. You can find it all in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You can find it in Isaiah 26, 12, 13 and 14. All those ugly things that used to come up, now the wind of the Spirit has blown them away, and they won't ever come back. Praise God. So I lay hands on you for this gift of strength, that you are now a man of conviction. You do not just say what you believe, but you live what you believe. And you have an iron will that God has given you from now on against all the things of the devil. In the name of Jesus. And I bless you that you are a woman of peace that cannot be disturbed by circumstances or bad news. In the name of Jesus Christ, you do not have anything to fear. You do not have any trouble that's coming around the bend. Only the blessings of the Lord and the good things of God are going to come to your home and family. We bless this family in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Everybody agreed with that and said amen. Praise God. How long have you guys been married? Come on over here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You all don't mind if I just minister to some people, right? Praise God. Church is good, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to get ministered to in church. You all stand right there like he was in. And you come up here, ma'am. Yeah. Stand right here and let me have somebody behind her. I'll get to you in just a second. Praise the Lord. Just stand right there facing them, just like you were doing. Yeah, right there. And tell me your name.
Sugar.
What?
Sugar.
That's your real name. Yes. That is cool. I like that. That threw me off, but I like that. Extend your hands over to Sugar. Just lift your hands, Sugar. And I see that you're totally given over to Jesus. You love Jesus, but something's going on. Things are happening right now. It's like God, it's like the water is moving all over your life right now. Stuff's going on and you've got prayers shooting out of you and needs and wants and things and all kinds of stuff. It's just like you're a volcano right now in the spirit is what I'm seeing. But God says that the lava will not burn you. And instead, God will take what was dangerous and make it a pathway to walk on. And that God is going to give you a tremendous breakthrough in the next 30 days. Praise the Lord. You're going to get an amazing breakthrough in the next 30 days. Sorrow's going to leave, discouragement, fears are going to disappear, and God is just going to fill you completely. God says, you're not going to have to fight this battle by yourself. I am going to fight it for you. I am going to be the Lord, your warrior. I'm going to be the Lord, your protector. I'm going to be the Lord, your guard. I'm going to be the one that stands there and gives you peace and safety from the battle that has risen up against you. And so I just declare, I lay my hand on you. I just declare, along with all the people, that in the name of Jesus, That which has come against you is now broken and reversed in the name of Jesus. And the peace of God, let it take over, Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For whatever you have lost, God will restore it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Everybody agreed to that and said, praise the Lord. Tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And extend your hands right over here and you can sit down, sugar. Right here. Tell me your names.
Dave and Rachel.
Dave and Rachel. Praise the Lord. And how long have you been married?
It'll be 10 years next month.
10 years. And how long have you all been coming to the church? Do you come to this church?
Just a few months.
A few months. Okay, great. Praise the Lord. Just go ahead and hold hands. And you've been married 10 years. Praise the Lord. I feel this. I see this happening right here. God is like a tailor, and he sews garments together. And he is going to sew you together. And he's going to use string and thread that cannot be broken. Praise the Lord. That devil that has been coming against you, because tonight I felt the Lord tell me to get some people free from stuff. But, you know, sometimes pressure, stress, circumstances, things pull on you. And God says, I'm going to make sure that the stormy water is just smooth. And, you know, it's not an accident you're coming here to the church. Because God, tell me your name again.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Because God is doing surgery on your heart. God is doing it. A man is not doing it. A person is not doing it. But God is doing it. Because God chose you, Dave, when you were inside your mother's womb. This has been a journey for you. Through ups and downs and through many different things. But I'm going to promise you something. That if you will follow God, he will use you together in a very powerful way. God is going to put you, you know, you're in a stage where he has to prepare you, but and train you and do all those kind of things. But if you'll just be faithful and not allow the traps of the past to ever catch you in anything, emotional, mental, whatever. If you will just be faithful to the Lord over the next 3-4 years, God is going to really begin to give you clarity so you can understand. Even the past. Here's the word. God saves your future by healing your past. And right this moment, the Holy Spirit is on both of you, healing your past. If you'll let him do it right now. Because what you're feeling is the presence of God. It's just not my words. You are like a little boy that has found somebody else's Christmas tree. But you've been given permission to take all the presents. And God says, even what you have not earned, God will give you. Even what you don't deserve, God will allow you to enjoy. You are going to have some great years ahead. And just let God do the surgery on your heart. I'm going to put my hand right there. And we're going to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Just let God do the surgery in your heart. Because, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came on Saul and gave him another heart. Praise the Lord. So may God teach you. I'm going to lay my hands on your head. And this is just because it's a matter of contact and impartation. Give this man, Lord, the mind that thinks exactly how you want him to think so that he can make all the right choices for his life. I rebuke the devil off this family in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say you will not stumble and fall. You will not turn back ever. You will get stronger and stronger and stronger in God. Praise the Lord. Now I lay my hands on this woman. Extend your hands this way, everybody. And Father, in the name of Jesus, every curse on this woman and every curse on her family is now broken in the name of Jesus. All the things of the past, God, wash them away in the blood of Jesus Christ and do something that nobody else can do for her. Fill her house with singing birds, Lord, that she can hear them in her spirit every morning. Take all the sounds of sadness and fear out of this house and make this house a house that is holy and clean and peaceful and full of the joy of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, do you have any children? You have two children. Are they here? How old are your children? Yeah. Come on over here, buddy. What's your name?
Jared.
How you doing, Jared?
Good.
You mind if I pray for you, buddy?
Sure.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray for Jared. You know, a child can go either way. They can go good or they can go bad. Just because people come to church doesn't mean their children are going to be good. But you know what we can do is sanctify children. And once we do it, they're going to walk with God. They may stray, but they'll come back. But I'm going to declare over Jared that he's going to be a man of God. Can you do that? I declare that Jared will be a preacher. I declare that Jared will be an evangelist. I declare that Jared will play the guitar. I declare that Jared will prophesy. I declare that Jared will be an athlete. I declare that Jared will be smart in school. I declare that he will be wise. I declare that all the temptations of the flesh will not swallow him up, and that the curses of his genetic tree will not take him over in the name of Jesus. I declare that Jared is loved and that he will feel that love and he will feel the appreciation of God. Jared, you are not an ordinary young man. You are chosen and picked out by God. You're going to be a soldier in the army of God. You're going to walk with God as a general and not as a private. You won't peel potatoes, but you'll lead the armies of God. You will stand strong and have a trumpet to your mouth, the trumpet of truth, the trumpet of honesty and of integrity, and the trumpet of revelation, and you will declare it everywhere, and everybody that hears you, when you blow that trumpet, they'll listen, and they'll say, I've heard the truth, and it has delivered me, and it has set me free. You're going to work with orphans. You're going to take care of children. You're going to build things. You're going to have a gift for building. It'll start with carpentry and then building things. You'll just love to build things, but it's the anointing to build the kingdom of God. The Nehemiah anointing that is on you, Jared, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every word spoken to you that was not of God, I now break it out of your ears and out of your heart in the name of Jesus. Everything done to you that is not of God, I heal you of it in the name of Jesus by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed from that in Jesus' name, Jared, and let your dreams now be holy and peaceful in Jesus' name. Now let's bless that house, your house. Father, we bless that house. We clear out any dark things in that house right now, Father. We fill that house with the Holy Ghost. We fill that house with the spirit of life and joy and peace and everything in that house, God, that it just be amazing. It'd be wonderful. And that the Spirit of the Lord be in every room of that house. And that, God, forget the past. Just forget the past and start brand new from tonight. Be kind to one another. Be loving to one another. Speak kindly to one another. Say words that are kind. And God will do all the rest that you cannot do. Amen. Everybody bless him and say thank God. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand tonight. Praise God. Keep the music going a little bit higher there because I'm trying to hear it, but praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Tell me what your name is.
Ashley.
Ashley, great. Stand right there, Ashley. Stand over here, Ashley. The Holy Ghost is already on you. Extend your hands right here to Ashley. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ashley, I'm just putting my arm around you like this, and I'm delivering you, Ashley, right now with my arms of being abused. I'm just delivering you of that. And any time in your life where you've been used, abused, and rejected, I'm picking up on those three things, and I want you all to help me release her from those things. Praise the Lord. Do you believe Jesus Christ is a doctor? Isn't he a physician? And he sets people free. Praise God. You may not know, but God is really preparing something great for you. Something great. I want you to stop feeling guilty. That's what the Lord is saying. I want you to stop feeling guilty and ashamed and let all that go. God says, I'm starting with you brand new right now. It's like a butterfly that just broke out of the cocoon, and that's where you're at right now. You're the butterfly. But pain, it takes pain to break the cocoon. It's a fight. It's a tearing. It's a ripping. But when you come out of there, you come out, Ashley, you come out flying with colors and with beauty. And then people just want to look at you fly. They want to see you fly. And God says the colors have not come out of you yet, Ashley. You're still in the cocoon, but you're going to come out real soon. And you're going to start flying and manifesting the colors of God. Do not be afraid that you have lost permanently any of your dreams and any of your hopes and anything that God has prepared for you, because it's not true. In the name of Jesus. And I sever all the chains in your life, Ashley. I sever every bondage in your life. In Jesus' name. Tell me what you do.
I don't have a job.
Woo! There you go. Well, let's get that taken care of right now. Praise God. Here's how you'll know God gave you the job. Number one, you won't be qualified for it. And number two, you'll get paid more than you should. And this is how you'll know God gave you the job. And you'll never lose it again. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. How old are you?
29.
Yeah, and do you have any children or anything? That little fella right there, bring him up here. And are you married? Okay. And hey, what's your name, buddy?
Taylor,
how you doing, man? Hold your mom's hand there, Taylor. Praise the Lord. You know, I just feel like telling you that God can unscramble eggs. Praise the Lord. And God's going to do it for you. Imagine a father that loves his daughter so bad and so deeply and so much that he would do absolutely anything for her, just anything. And that he finds a house just wrecked, just boards everywhere, everything broken, nothing is on, you can't see the door, the windows. And then he has the power to put it all together. And this is what God's going to do for you. He's going to put your life together. 7 years of construction are going to come for you where the Lord puts your life together. Remember, he unscrambles eggs. Praise the Lord. You don't have to worry about mistakes anymore. You're going to hear God's voice. You're going to hear his voice. Get a Bible that you can understand. Read that Bible. Pray on your knees every night before you go to bed. Lay hands on this boy. Tyler? Taylor? Let's lay hands. Can I lay hands on you, Taylor? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, extend your hands over here to Taylor. God, I thank you for Taylor, that he is not ordinary, God, that he is picked and special. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I sanctify this boy to be your servant all the days of his life. I feel like Taylor, God is going to give Taylor a gift of learning. He's going to be able to learn things really well. And he's going to invent something that is going to make him really rich. And he's going to be able to bless a lot of churches and orphans and build churches and build Bible schools. Yeah, a lot of them in Africa, Asia. God's going to do that. So when you lay hands on him, just remember that he is someone that God has picked out to use in a mighty way. He's a diamond in the rough, and you're his mother. Praise the Lord. And God is going to bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, first give her a job, then give her everything else she needs in Jesus' name. Everybody agreed with me and said amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Say thank God, because the devil is a liar. Are you guys married there? Could you come up here? Praise the Lord and stand right here. Thank God. Give the Lord a hand, everybody, and say thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You know, church is supposed to be a place where we have encounters with God. Stand up for a second there, ma'am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you extend your hands over there? I feel like praying for your knees. And I feel like praying for your feet. And I'm just asking God to bless your body and your bones right now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Also, God is going to give you a gift of sleep. The ability to sleep in the sweet presence of God. Literally to sleep in the arms of God. Psalm 4:8. God says, I'm going to refresh you because you have also a disorder that takes a lot of your energy out. It's in your adrenal glands. And God is going to heal your adrenal glands so your energy comes back. And you're going to have a lot of energy. And you also have some kind of deficiency in iron and copper and mercury are high. And God is going to fix that. I'm just repeating what God tells me. But if you get it tested, you'll see that I'm right. And God is going to really do a miracle for you in these next 3 months. Praise God. So from your head to your toes, receive that blessing in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And tell me, how long have you guys been married?
3 years.
3 years. Okay, great. And how long have you come to the church?
I've been here for about 7 years and Jen about 3.
Great. Fantastic. Okay, so everybody, would you help me? Stand over here and face me this way. Like this. And let's extend our hands over here. Here's what I'm seeing just as you were walking up. This is really interesting, but if I tied chains to your feet and you had to walk around with those, you wouldn't last very long. I mean, if I tied them there and you just had to walk around, it would tire you out. And I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is telling me, that the tiredness and the hard work of life is about to leave your family forever. You're about to grow wings. That's what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit tell me. You're about to grow wings. And there's a beautiful scripture for that, Isaiah 40. It's a familiar verse, 29, 30, and 31. You know, you'll walk and not be weary. You'll run and not faint. You'll mount up with wings like an eagle. And you will soar. And right now, you've been surviving. Now, hear my words. But you're going to start thriving. This is a word from the Holy Ghost. Everybody say that. You've been surviving, but you're going to start thriving. Praise the Lord. And every tentacle, the tentacles, like the devil is like an octopus. And he likes to get his little tentacles in people and then suck the life out of them. But that's not going to happen for you. Not only is God going to give you victories this year, deliverances this year, peace this year, transformations this year, but he's also going to give you a tremendous ability to see truth and love it. Not everybody loves truth. And so I'm not going to tell you what God is going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you that when he tells you something, you're going to be willing to adjust. And he'll start telling you things. He'll say, don't do this. And you go, okay. Don't say that. Okay. Don't act that way. Okay. Because you're God's children. And he loves you a lot. You know, you're God's children. He loves you. And he chose you. And he chose you for something really amazing. And, you know, I'm looking at this picture right now. When I look at you, you're cleaning windows, both of you. Woo, what a word. I received it for myself. Wow. You know, cleaning windows is the gift of making unclear things clear. And that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to grow really strong in the Word. You're going to get into the Word and into prayer. And you're going to become very deep disciples of Jesus. And your windows will become clearer and clearer and clearer till you can see for miles and miles and miles. And the confusion will never be a part of your life ever again. Praise God. You're going to walk on solid ground. The scripture I have for you is Matthew 7, 24, 25, 26, 27. If you build your house on a rock, nothing can destroy it. Winds, which is doctrines, rain, which is circumstances and stress and pressure, and floods, which are unexpected calamities. None of those three things are going to ever be able to knock your house down. Praise the Lord. Just get ready because you're going to last. You're going to endure. You're going to be strong. And doesn't matter where you're at right now. This is a very strange thing. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. What matters is where God's taking you. And it is going to be a very good place. Praise the Lord. Really good. The way you know that what I said is good, is you're going to start waking up singing. You're going to wake up with songs in your heart. You're going to say, whoa, 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 what's going on? And there's going to be no sadness in the house of any kind. No sadness. Just everybody laughing and singing and being happy and freaking out and all that. You're going to just act weird, because you're so happy. Praise the Lord. You have the gift of love. It's buried, but it's going to come out of you. Love always comes with the gift of healing. And you have some kind of creative gift inside of you that God's going to bring forth. It's going to really be able to bless people and give them an understanding of God's will for their life. Hold hands like that. Everybody extend your hands. Father, I just bless this couple today. I thank you, Lord, that the devil is defeated. God is on his throne. In Jesus' name, bless their work. Bless their finances. Bless their life. Bless their unity. Bless peace, God. Give them everything that they need to walk in the strength and power of Almighty God in Jesus' name. Philippians 4:19, a great verse for both of you. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So you're not going to lack anything. Lack is out of your life. You'll never be broken. You'll never be poor because God's going to bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody give the Lord a hand tonight. Say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Stand up tonight and lift your hands, everybody. And I just want you to take your life and put it in your hands and offer it to God. Say, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, could you come to that panel? Say, I just give you my life tonight, Lord. Say these words. I just give you my life tonight. Every area of my life, I surrender to the Holy Spirit and the wealth of Almighty God. Play that song you were playing, you know, that last two songs you played. Yeah. Just keep your hands up. Thank you, Lord. Father, go visit these folks tonight. Go with them to their house. Visit them, Father, all week long. Speak to the church. Make this church wealthy. So when people come in here, they'll feel the love of God. Make this church wealthy, God, so when they walk in here, they'll feel joy and they'll feel peace and they'll feel honor and truth and vision and direction and understanding. Take all the casualness out of every person, Lord, and let them catch on fire in every area of their life, because that's the kind of God you are, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Everybody be seated for a moment. Keep playing, Laura. Sing that song. Everybody be seated for just 1 second. Everybody with back problems, would you stand up really quick? If you're right near them, just touch them. There's a lady here, a lady here, a lady here, a gentleman there, and other people. If you're just near him, just touch him. The one right before that, Laura? The one right before that? Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Sometimes a song carries an anointing. And I really felt this song right here has an anointing for healing in it. So we're going to pray for some healings right now. Right in their back. Just touch him right there. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, those of you receiving prayer, put your hands on the spot of your back that hurts, if you can reach it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Say these words. I'm getting healed right now. Say that. The pain is leaving my body. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Say, I have faith to be totally healed. And for this pain never to come back. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Say, I do not doubt, but I believe that Jesus is my healer. I believe that by his stripes I am healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to just do one other thing. And this is really important. I want to pray for everybody's sleep tonight. I really felt the Holy Ghost tell me, if you have problems sleeping, stand up. Because sleep is a gift God gives people. And you ought to be able to sleep in the peace of God. Every night should be a time when God ministers to you. And you should wake up refreshed in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. So everybody that's standing, somebody touch him. Somebody just touch him. Praise God. Those of you receiving prayer, just put your left hand on your forehead. Just lightly touch it. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Every assignment against you in sleep, we now break it, reverse it, and curse it in the name of Jesus. We declare that you're going to have a testimony of sleeping like a baby tonight. That the Holy Spirit is going to come on your sleep. And it will stay with you for the rest of your life. I just declare that you have been given the gift of sleep. And that whatever the source of your problem is, it is now broken. In Jesus' name. Now everybody lift your hands and sing that song for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Sing that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it flow on everybody. Father God, let the Holy Ghost fall on the church. Double the church, God. Double the church, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Triple the church. Triple the church in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Bring in people from the north, south, east, and west. Every kind of person, Lord. Let something exciting happen in the church this year. Let something amazing and miraculous take place, God, on this property. Karombe, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, by the power of the Holy Ghost, because the devil is a liar. Amen. Praise God. Would you hug two people right now? Take your seats for a minute. Praise the Lord. You have that DVD real quick? Can you play that? Okay. Cool. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Well, guys, that's what you're doing. Praise the Lord. Yep, you're making all those things happen, and we really appreciate it. Keep in mind the school we're building on September the 9th for Africa. We're building that children's school for 150 kids. I know a bunch of you are going to come. So, praise the Lord for that, and I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Robert. Amen. Here you go.